They say if you want to hide something from black people, put it in a book. Well, this location is very important because we're at the Langston University, the real LU. And it's the only HBCU in Oklahoma and the closest HBCU to the West Coast. I'm going to be talking to some of my peers and inquiring their perspective and having a deep conversation. Stay tuned.
What's up, y'all? What's up, y'all?
What's up, y'all?
What's up, y'all?
My future isn't determined by where I currently reside. Understanding your worth will put pride in your stride. I'm accountable to my call. There's no compromise. I set my own bar, and you better know it's set high.
It's giving what it's supposed to give. Ooh, stop playing with them.
Y'all, it's your girl Deshari, and welcome back to another episode of It's a Perspective Podcast. Today, we are at Langston University, the real LU.
What's up?
And today, I have some of my peers here. You guys go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Jalen, second semester sophomore.
Yes.
I am Mimi. I am a graduating senior.
I'm Deisha. I'm also a graduating senior.
I'm Miles Gann. I'm a transfer student. I'm a junior.
Yes. Well, y'all, we're going to jump right into it. This is a segment, the fans' favorite part of the show called That's My Jam. It's where you can play a mantra or a song you can't resist jamming, dancing, or singing to. Mm-hmm. So you guys can tell me. We're going to put a little twist on it, though. We're going to go with HBCU jams. Okay. One you think of when you partying, going to a club or an HBCU party. Yeah. The one you want to see the girls stroke. But yeah, so you can tell me your HBCU jam. We'll start with you again.
What's that bunny hop song?
Do the bunny hop.
Yeah!
Check it, watch your mama.
I stay just being... I ain't worried about Joseph. I don't even know the rest of the song.
You just ain't worried about Josephine.
I'm not.
Okay, what about you, Mimi?
I'm not going to hold you. This is how we do it. Turns me up every time.
Okay. Like, what about you, Deisha?
Yeah. Well, after you said, you know, the songs that made the girls want to stroll
to,
probably Wipe Me Down. That just turned me up.
Offended
if you did not mention Shake That Money.
Of course, I will always shake my money, but Wipe Me Down.
Honestly, when I hear Wipe Me Down, like, I'm just looking at every frat and sorority. I'm like,
Well, listen, since you said it at the beginning pre-show, I'm going to go ahead and say Homecoming, Beyonce. Homecoming is cool. That's one for me. So I think we're going to go ahead and get into one of our jams. I think we should do Swag Surfing. So let's hop right into it. Y'all ready with this?
Let's go.
All right. So why did you choose to come to college? And was HBCU at the top of your list when you chose to come? You gonna start with Miles this time.
Well, I've always had a dream of going to an HBCU. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, for me, it was how was I going to get there? So pretty much I would say the reason why I came here especially was because of my cousin. She helped me. And shout out to my cousin. She's a poodle, you know. Shout out to the poodle. I would say I wouldn't be here without her. And ever since then, I've been at HBCU. It's been the best decision I've ever made, personally, with friendships, genuine friendships, mm-hmm. I should say. There's nothing but opportunities. I really feel like I came here to find myself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really have done ever since I've been here. People have been accepting me for who I am and not for what I can necessarily do. So it's really pretty much for myself. I came here for myself and to find loved ones who really can help me as well, lead me in the direction I need to go. So it's been nothing but greatness.
I love that.
For myself, mm-hmm. college, it was never the first option for me, really. Okay. As I got older, really, like in high school, I just seen that college was definitely an outlet that I can take. And I wanted to put myself and my family in a better position, honestly. And HBCU, once I decided that I was going to attend college, HBCU was definitely on the top of my list. Okay. I attended PWIs my whole life. So I knew that I wanted to go to HBC for sure.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I grew up in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Okay. So I was surrounded by people who don't look like us. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I knew an HBCU was definitely where I wanted to go. I'm a first generation graduate.
Yes.
So college was always, that's where I'm going, that's what I'm gonna do. I wanna be a doctor. So it's like, I have to go to school. So it was always a plan, always in the work. Langston wasn't the first choice, though. Mm-hmm. But I can truly say that being here, the people I've met, the relationships that I have formed, like just seeing how the professors interact with us. Mm-hmm. Like I sit in professors' office for hours, mm-hmm. and it's okay. We can talk about anything. So I think HBCUs just have a home feel to them that you just don't want to miss out on, for real.
At HBC was not my first choice. I was always going to go to college because you can't, well, maybe in some of y'all states y'all can teach without a degree, but where I'm going, you can't teach without a degree. Mm-hmm. So college was always what I was going to do, but I went to a PWI first and I transferred here. And once I had that experience, and I was like, yeah, never again. But now that I love my HBCU.
Period.
My orange and blue, baby. You know what I'm saying?
It's different out here in East Street.
It is. For like graduate school, I could not go to a school that did not have fried chicken on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what's up, though. I am glad that you guys chose to come to Langston. I'm glad you chose an HBCU because I feel like the culture of an HBCU is something that's really, really different.
It is.
And I haven't experienced the PWI. I've been here all, I guess, 5 years, I can say now. So I love it. I do. But this is the reason for the episode, the conversation we're all here for. Taking a deep dive on a conversation we had previously about the movie Love and Basketball and the plot. Listen, I believe the culture needs this. I believe generation, our age group needs to hear this conversation. Because before, I want to shout out to my bro Marcus. He had us challenge our perspective on why we thought the movie was good. I still love the movie to this day. But now that I hear different perspectives. Once I hear a different outlook on seeing the movie, I'm like, maybe this is a little toxic.
I didn't realize it was toxic until I became an adult and watched it. And I'm sitting there like, red flag.
Leave him alone. Yeah, so I think older generations would argue and say, you know, this age group doesn't know how to talk to each other or communicate, don't know how to date, don't know how to treat each other. So let's just start, you know, the conversation off with you, Mouse, because you were a big advocate for why the movie was a good movie. Mm-hmm. So I want to hear your perspective. Take us along the journey of why you believe this movie is clear and great.
I would say the movie was good because what it shows is in relationships, you're going to go through struggles and people are going to have, I would say, traumas to where they face when they're a child, children. Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
When I'm looking at a lot of the situations that they go through and face was only built off of childhood traumas. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I picked off of that was when you're with your partner is it's good and it's great to discuss childhood traumas because mm-hmm. a lot of the situations, a lot of problems are not you. And then a lot of the times that's what it turns into mm-hmm. to where you'll start thinking, oh, it's me and things like that, to where it's all about communication. And in the film, it was on both ends, in my opinion, to where it shows that why communication is key, no mm-hmm. matter what. Because if you don't know what's going on with your partner, you're going to be out here like a lost puppy, and you're going to start assuming things, and it's just going to cause problems after problems after problems if you don't know what's going on. So my opinion, the movie shows that if you fight and if you really love somebody, mm-hmm. you're going to have them at the end. And like I said before, I feel like it plays in the woman's favor because she held out. That he had traumas and he had a lot of things to where, not saying it's okay, but she held at the end all be all. It was because she loved him mm-hmm. and she made him realize that, look, I'm here for you, mm-hmm. and that's what he needed at the end because it seemed like it, but I feel like the only reason why he was blinded to it is because he was just hurt from somebody else, and that's what happens to people that get hurt. So it shows what can being hurt and not knowing what's going on in your relationship can do to your relationship as well. So that's why I feel like it's what you take from it. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, rebuttal. I've seen some faces. I've seen some people sitting up.
And then you got these delusional little children running around thinking, yeah, my girl don't go through like like, not Lathan out the movie that she ain't down.
No, it's not that she ain't down, but trauma should not be a part of every relationship. Right. You should not have to hold somebody down through somebody else being in your bed because you mad I missed curfew because I got to start a game and you don't get to play. Don't nobody care.
Because truthfully, let's discuss. If Q did, if the roles were switched, Q would not have missed curfew.
Okay. Okay. Let me tell the audience what we're talking about here. So we're going to zoom in on the section of the movie where they're sitting on the bleachers and they're talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And Sanaa Lathan, which we know is Monica, mm-hmm. has to go to her dorm because she's going to miss curfew in a few minutes for her game the next day and she wouldn't be able to suit up. Mm-hmm. But Q has just gone through a really hard time. His dad cheated on his mom, right. And that's really tough on him. He looked at his dad as his hero. Right. So that's what part we're talking about, if you guys don't know already. So go ahead.
It's just upsetting that, because right after that, she wanted to talk. She was like, I mean, we can talk. Can we not meet up tomorrow? Can mm-hmm. you not come over here? Like, can we? And he like, no. But then I see you again, and the young lady is in your apartment. Mm. And that's where I got a problem. Because you finna yeah. take her. Just talking about, yeah. I took her to Burger King. Yeah. Okay, Ann.
Yeah.
I have exactly. a question.
Okay.
Do you feel like that was an impulsive response by him?
Yes.
Yes. And that's where I say where he was wrong. Mm-hmm. So he was impulsive. So in reality, let's be real, we knew he didn't love that girl. Can we say that safe to say?
Yeah.
Because it's because looking at the results in when he really dropped homegirl, because at the end of the day, I'll be real with you, there's been times where, and in relationships wise, let's keep it a buck, like sometimes you look at your friend, they'll be like, when they come out of the relationship, man, they is, you know, out here like crazy because mm-hmm. they ain't been right. locked down right. for so long, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. to where at the end of the day they don't even realize them going out there and doing certain things is just harming themselves. But that's because they were in a relationship for so long and they've been through so much trauma. That's again to where he's impulsive. Like, he is not at a stable state mentally. Because if I'm being real with you, he loved Monica. Like, he loved Monica.
Let me chime in. Let me say something real quick. This is where I got a problem in that scenario. Yeah. Is that you are so impulsive that you would make me look stupid. Not only that, but I am to believe that this whole time we've been talking, you weren't talking to anybody else. And then you have somebody on standby all of a sudden when I'm not doing what you deem as, oh, important in the moment.
Okay. The very next day, which makes me think, okay, was she always
was
in
she
the pocket?
Always, mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, because it wasn't a secret that, you know, he was the star of the mm-hmm. school. Right. So, of course, there was always little girls mm-hmm. running around like that. But the fact that you and your girlfriend got into, not even an argument, just a disagreement the night prior, mm-hmm. the next day I come over trying to tell you about my win mm-hmm. and my accomplishments, see if you even want to go out and celebrate, mm-hmm. make you feel better. You already got somebody on standby.
What part of the movie was it when they were in the party and he was talking to her? Was that before or after she seen him at the house? Because
that was after.
Yeah. Because then the girl had the audacity to look at me like, you know who I am.
I mean, it was the same girl.
No, mm-hmm. it is the same girl.
Yeah. Yeah, that was after they won the championship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because she got to play the second
but
time.
But when did she go to the house? The girl was at the house.
That was after the first one when what's that old girl broke her ankle?
When Tanya Randall.
Yeah. Tanya Randall.
No, what's her name?
Her name was Sid. Yeah. Sidra.
No, you're a Sidra.
No, but to go back on your point of his impulsiveness,
mm-hmm.
he didn't grow up from that. Because let's not forget, he called off his wedding 2 weeks before.
Mm.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
or not, you still pretty impulsive.
Little.
All right. You took us there. Okay. Come on.
We never talk about Tyra Banks, how she felt. Like
the woman that he was going to marry. Correct?
Right.
Okay.
We didn't even know her name. Right.
That just shows, like, I know, like I said, I'm not supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows to where, how bad it was for him, if looking at it. So, I'm telling y'all, like, looking at it from the jump when he was a kid, we knew he liked Monica, right? That's
right,
why he didn't
right.
know how to act towards a girl. Like, he mm-hmm. like he hurt her. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, any guy who really likes a girl ain't gonna hurt her, but he don't know how to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, going on, since he was a kid, we understand the true feelings he's had for
right.
Monica, correct?
Right.
So, this is where it comes down to understanding and knowing and realizing that he was just doing things, not thinking right, which is like, to where at the end of the day, Monica gave him the benefit of the doubt of him being hurt at the long run because she still loved him, still married him, and she knew that. So, like I said, vice versa, but in this movie, it shows the woman doing it, which is like, normally it's always the man, you know, doing certain things chasing. To get the woman chasing. Yeah. So why not mix it up? And that's what I feel like the movie did. Like, sometimes a woman can hold a relationship together as well. So why not take credit as, shoot, she held it down. She got what she wanted, had her dream, did what she wanted to do. Because at the end of the day, it was a process. Mm-hmm. It really just was for them to really be married and love each other and realize a lot of things. And that's how I look at it, is to where it's not how all relationships should be. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, in this specific movie, in this specific film, we understand the traumas that either one of them faced, both of them faced, which is from childhood. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times, when it comes down to relationships, I'm going to have to do certain things for my partner that I may not want to do, mm-hmm. but it's going to benefit them, which is not where it goes wrong, is if it's going to not benefit me in a way of in a bad way, to where it's going to break me down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But in the end all be all, if it's not going to break you down, that's what you got to do. Sometimes you got to do certain things for your partner, which is like, it's okay, because at the end of the day, we're going to build each other, and we're going to make sure that we're on the same page, we're on the same team, right. Because that's what it is for me. So in this relationship,
get a meaning.
Doing things for your partner that you don't want to do
in a healthy manner.
In a healthy way. Yeah. This girl basically, if we pay attention to the movie, we don't know what she did off camera. Mm-hmm. Right. But yeah. Monica waited years mm-hmm. for this man to get back home, and he's still acting like he don't want her. Mm-hmm. So we should, as women, just to clarify, should do things for our relationship with a possibility that it won't ever work out. Because remember, it was 2 weeks before his wedding before he was like, finally, like, oh, bet, let's finally do it. Monica put her whole life on hold to literally yeah. like, oh, well, I love him, and because I know he got all of this situation going on, I'ma just wait.
So necessarily, what do you mean by putting her life on hold?
Relationship-wise.
Okay.
Monica wouldn't date again. Okay. Monica was in Spain. Now, granted, she was very successful. Like, mm-hmm. go girl, I love that for her. But when it came to relationships, we don't know if she ever had one again or what she did, but according to the movie, she did not.
Right. So mm-hmm. Q was just the only
Q
one.
Q was so the only right. one. So,
I mean, can we discredit her for really having love for somebody? That's what I'm looking at. It's love in basketball. So I'm looking at this to where we can't fault her for really loving him. Like, that's how I, and that's how we look at certain people today. Like, sometimes we'll be like, oh my God, why is she still talking to a boy? Oh my God, why is he talking to still a girl? Because there's just certain things to where in relationships we don't understand.
Right. You're right.
So
you're
that's
right.
where I'm going to where you're she right. just loved Q. Like, and that's mm-hmm. how I look at it. It's like I said, I don't support what Q right, did. Right. That's, mm-hmm. you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But let's be real. Like, he loved her. Like, can
did,
we not say
did
that?
He?
Yeah.
But what is that perpetuating to our young women, yeah. though? What was perpetuated to Monica to where she felt like she had to hold off for so many years? Mm-hmm. What is this movie perpetuating to our young women?
It's betrayed.
Like, well, why does that have to be?
Why do we have to go through
that movie was scripted and written out at the end of the day. Our relationships are not.
Ooh,
so we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. Hopefully that'll end out in good in the end. But the movie does not show what happens when it doesn't.
And yeah. that's a good point, because we as people, this is the reason why I think that this conversation is so important. We as people look to movies and music to mm-hmm. to right. pattern our relationships after.
Right.
So what is it setting up for ourselves? And I know we're young, but soon after, what is it set up for our kids? You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Not that I have any, because I don't want them to have any. Right? But I guess what I'll go into is, because we talked about how you guys feel about it, how do you guys think that you should protect each other, or they should protect each other, knowing that they have these parental figures that they looked up to? Like, Monica looked up to her mom, but her mom failed in some ways, the reason mm-hmm. why she felt like she couldn't be treated that
yeah.
way. What's his name? Q looked up to his dad, the reason why he felt like he was let down so bad mm-hmm. that he had this knockout, drag out mm-hmm. situation with Monica.
I think that's where, like, communication comes in, honestly. I know a lot of people say, oh, well, we are communicating, but you actually have to comprehend what your partner is saying. And mm-hmm. I feel like you have to create that safe space for them to come out and let you know mm-hmm. the trauma that they have gone through and, like, what holds them back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that, it's going to reveal, like, throughout the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and
right.
sometimes it won't reveal until years later, and now you're feeling like, well, damn, we done been through all of this, and this is just finally coming out, or and so now I feel like I wasted my time, you know. But and then some people, they either take that and, you know, they run with it, or they be like, well, they look at it as, well, we have been through a lot of stuff. I'm gonna keep holding on. Yeah, maybe it'll get better.
Yeah.
And then most of the time, like when it comes to situations, like you said, it goes back to just miscommunication. Nobody knows what's going on. She doesn't know that Q feels like she's just leaving her, and because, I mean, my fault. So in the specific scene, she wants to pretty much be there for him, right? But he's like, no, it's okay, whatever, you got it. But in his head, what's going on in his head is not being portrayed to her. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue, and to where certain, vice versa. There's certain things to where she wants to put herself first because she's seen a woman not put herself first, which was her mother. Mm-hmm. So it's just a lot of the things just goes on in people's head and it's not being said. Mm-hmm. So that's what I feel like it teaches. Like, you have to communicate with your partner. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, you're going to be lost. And y'all going to start thinking things about it. It's just like, cute, like I said, right? He didn't say nothing. So he's over here thinking in his head that she doesn't want to be there for him. But in reality, she does. Cases, she may think Q doesn't want her to be successful in her own life. Mm-hmm. But she's not making that known because she's seen her mother have to just wash her daddy's drawers and do nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I'm telling you, I take it as to what you get out of it. If you want to look at it as she was being dragged and da-da-da, go ahead. But I'm looking at it as to where two people have some traumatic traumas as children. They were not talked about, and you can see the dangers in it. Mm-hmm. So
I wouldn't say that we're looking at it as she's being dragged.
But, I wasn't referring to y'all, but you know.
No, but it's like, because that is a viewpoint of the movie, like Monica was done wrong.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that. It's the fact that for, as a young Black woman, we are taught that we have to, like, be these strong, and we have to hold these men down, and like,
hold them together.
Be so strong for a Black man
for sure.
who, like Q, don't even voice what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's teaching us, okay, he don't voice it,
right.
so stay there still. Like, and go, it's like we have to suffer so long or go through so much to get the ring or to get the crown. And we shouldn't have to do that.
That's
like,
true.
We should be loved, and we should be loved correctly.
That's
and
true.
Yes, Monica had her issues with her mom and like all of that. And Monica, of course, had her issues in the relationship as well when it came to Q and her insecurities. But the main focus was how she waited for Q.
Mm-hmm.
She came back. Like, she checked on a man in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like and he still was just like, oh, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm finna get married. This is my fiance.
So,
was he mad?
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Go ahead. So, in that case, when he came back, like, well, she came back when he was in the hospital, right? Would you say he wasn't really where he needed to be when he did speak to her, or was he really like in that right state, is what I'm saying?
I don't think he was in the right state the whole movie, to be honest.
Since he was a kid?
Since he pushed off the mic because he didn't want to ride
his. It's the emotional just doing things off the cuff. Pushing her down, giving her a scar. You know,
and then the bike.
Then getting jealous when you see her at the prom. Then getting with her.
Back and forth.
Yeah, it's
pick
just
a side.
Yeah.
Either you want me or you don't.
Right.
But stop running in and out.
But can we talk about this nasty, unsanitary scene? My first time, first of all, thank you, Jesus, was not outside on no grass.
Well, it started off that way.
It started.
It's how it started.
They can stay up on their kids. Is that
wait a minute. You know how they go and say, he just fell on it.
No.
please. Talk about it. Like, even for that, no girl imagines. I don't know. Your first time, when it's taught to you by our mothers, it's supposed to be this very special.
But that's on her.
Stop. That was
on her. That's on her, though.
Stop.
That's on
we're
her.
We're winning. I'm talking about my old personal experience.
Okay.
Watches this movie.
Okay.
Oh.
We were not taught to be outside when my parents don't know. We in between these houses on the nasty, dirty ground. Taking it out, giving up stuff.
That's
what a man you now went for real.
Hello.
He went it's to the dance with somebody else.
It's so this movie is so complicated. But this brings me to this. How do y'all feel about dating in college? Because they go from kids to being in college to being adults. But we're college students right now. How do y'all feel about dating in college? Fling versus this is the one.
These dudes is really expecting you to be. I don't even know. You gotta be superwoman.
porn star, church mother, my mother, maid, cook, homework tutor. Like, I don't get paid to the least. Ain't got no. And if you're not, she just not down. She delusional. No, baby, you delusional. But you know, I'm not saying.
Listen, as the only guy here, we look to you. So tell us how you feel about dating in college.
Dating in college, I feel like a lot of times people never hear from the traumas, like in relationships when it comes to college. Like everyone goes into relationships still with these hurts and traumas, and they bring into their relationships, and they go into these patterns and patterns and patterns, and they're like, "Oh my God, it's this person when it's really you." So I stood back to myself, right?
Dang.
And I look at myself before I go into relationships.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I don't want to bring trauma to my partner. Like, I don't want to. Absolutely. Like, to where it will really bring them down, because there's going to be certain traumas that I feel like your partner can help you come out of as well. Mm-hmm. But it's where it's you put too much on them. That's where it goes wrong. Because, like I said, in relationships, we build each other. Mm-hmm. Because we're not perfect. It's true. Right. Like, I'll be honest. I've said certain things to my ex-partners that I regret. But it was emotional. There's a lot of things that ties behind it to where I'm just not perfect as myself. So I feel like in collegiate relationships, people are going into them hurt. And that's why they're not working. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to take time to just be by themselves. And people are out here looking to get these girls or get this man, where you need to just worry about yourself. Because when you do, that person will come to you. Absolutely. Because you attract.
Right. That's good.
Which, you know what I'm saying? So. And I'll be all just in my what I'm saying, just in the short, heal from your traumas before you try and go to somebody else.
I'm for relationships in college. Kind of piggybacking on Miles' statement, I do think that you need to address like anything and everything that's going on internally before getting into a relationship. Not even like in just that. Just in college, just like in general, like once we, you know, surpass and we, you know, become like adults and, you know, so you definitely need to address all of that before you try to really just try to love on someone, because you can't genuinely love someone and you going through hurt, you know, it's you just covering it up and like nothing is being healed. So
that's good. What y'all think?
I'm gonna be honest. So I was in a college relationship. I got in a relationship at 21. And I was the one carrying the trauma. And so just to piggyback off Miles, like with the relationship ending and like having to look at myself and what I carried into it, I was like, there's no way I would even go back into another relationship carrying all of that for many reasons. And it's like, and in college you have school, you have work, you have managing your studies, and then like trying to balance a relationship if you're carrying pain. And it's not even the fact that you're carrying the trauma, it's the fact that you don't know how to release it in a healthy way. So like, of course, like some people have childhood trauma that will reoccur. So instead of suppressing that with alcohol, weed, all of these things, suppressing it, instead of actually fixing that, you're gonna go into a relationship. So when y'all have problems, your first thought is, I'm just gonna suppress how you made me feel, because that's what I've been doing this whole time. And then that's how they end up messed up, and then the girl over here doing whatever at the party and dude mad, and now there's all this drama, and it's just like, it's so unnecessary.
Right.
Please take the time to find yourself, acknowledge your feelings, heal, and then don't go looking for the relationship, is what
I wish there were a lot more people.
I did. Oh my gosh. How embarrassing.
It's okay, go for it.
I wish everybody was as mature thinking as everybody at this table.
Right.
Because we would have all, we all have pretty much the same framework in our thinking. Let's be mature enough today. Let's be mature enough to work on ourselves first and seek out and maximize our single time, make the most out of it,
right,
so we can get the most out of our relationships. Unfortunately, that is not the culture of an HBCU campus.
At all.
You have, and that's why I opened up and said what I say, you have some of the most drastic pulling, because everybody grew up differently with their vastly different ideals. So you come to this campus and you think you found this one person that thinks like you, and come to find out they don't think like you. Or they really do think like you, but they want to play up as if they don't. They want to be something that they're not. And let's deal with the real
a lot of, I mean, how do I phrase this? There are people who do not want to be mature enough to have these conversations. Yeah, let's true. Not get that's, into this relationship until we're both ready, mm-hmm. but we can remain friends. Mm-hmm. That was also a part of that conversation. Can women handle, well, let's not do this right now? Or can men handle, let's not do this right now because mm-hmm. I'm not ready? Well, I'm going to give you a no, but the no is temporary. All you hear is no. And then, oh, he don't want me, or he a dog, or whatever. Are we mature enough to handle the relationship? It boils down to more than that. We might not be dealing with rational human beings sometimes. Right. Yeah. We might be dealing with, because of childhood trauma, they might have been stuck in that childhood cycle. So they might be 21 on the outside, but they're really 10 on the inside.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm a Christian single. So that means, like, I'm different. It's a different type of single. So for me, I'm going to be real. Being on this campus, it was always hard to date. Mm-hmm. Because, baby, one, you're not going to see all of my body anywhere.
Take your clothes off.
Sir, leave me alone.
I'm telling you where I pee-pee at.
Like, it's just like, and so I actually have had conversations with professors because they would, well, why don't you have a boyfriend? Because nobody's looking for me. Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's I'm not being checked for. I'm not being checked for. Right. Because first of all, I come to class fully clothed. Not dogging anybody who does come to class fully clothed.
You're modest and you uphold it.
Because that's something that needs to be spoken on. You ain't gotta show your full body to attract somebody that you
address
want.
The camera. Address the camera. Talk to them.
Listen, they're showing up as who you want them to be, not who you need them to be.
Right. And it's like, it's so hard because it's like, I don't want to come to your. I had a guy on this campus tell me I was a waste of time because I didn't want to come to his house. Sir, I don't know you, and it's 9 o'clock at night. I'm not coming over there.
Okay. Girl.
He was like, "Oh well, you was just a waste of time, sir. You asked for my number. I didn't come looking for you."
I think, like, honestly, like in this generation, really though, I don't want to say that relationships are played out, but that's how they are looked. Mm-hmm. They are played out, and I think everyone have relationship tendencies, but don't plan on being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. That part.
And then once the relationship comes out, they be like, oh well, like I'm gonna say from my perspective, they be like, oh well, you know, we not together, and I don't know if I'm ready, but you ready to do this, that, and the third.
You want me to
come?
You want me to show up as your wife?
Yes.
And you're not showing up as a husband.
But also I want to make a point to this and say, I think it's super important for people to be friends before they're anything else.
Yes.
I think we take it way too far, way too fast. And the key thing that will leave a long-lasting relationship is being best friends. Because even if you separate, y'all still going to be... Like, why do you have so many exes that hate you?
Why y'all have a bad blood between your exes?
That's a problem.
That also goes down to being mature enough to realize that all of my ex hate me. Like, am I the drama?
Self-reflection. That's crazy because I would always talk to my friends, and I don't really have bad relationships with the guys that I've dated. Like, we cool. I would be like, oh no, we cool. I don't know how you do it, girl.
Yeah.
We didn't have a bad breakup. Like, we ain't gotta argue every day.
Anything,
please.
Well, it depends on the person because I've had, like, even speaking from experience, like, I've dated somebody and we were friends before. And we said, all right, look, like, and that's one thing about me. I'm always making sure me and my partner are on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever the case might be, I'm like, all right, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? You know what I'm saying? So I'm making sure we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So many times where I would reassure, like, hey, like, you know, if this doesn't work, like, could we still be friends? Because I still care for you.
Mm-hmm.
I still love you. Mm-hmm. I still want to make sure that you straight, even if you ain't mine. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, of course. All right, so I'm giving her this husband treatment. I'm doing a lot of things, you know, and then it just comes to find out she's not, you know, she ain't for me, like, you know, to where it's like it's starting to change me in a bad way. So I tell her, look, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I don't feel like our relationship can grow any further. So let's just be friends. Let's, you know, I still love you, and that, okay, da 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 da. And then, boy, does she get mad when she sees me with another girl. Boy, but this is lead laughter. This is after, because I don't just jump. Like, that's one thing I don't do. Like, because it'll be wrong if I had a girl the next day. Like, obviously. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say time goes by, you know. We still be cool, you know what I'm saying? But then again, she comes into wanting the same like she has the same expectations that she had when we were together, having access to me all the time, doing this, doing that. So it's like, I really feel like it depends, like you said, on the person and maturity and knowing that there's certain things to where you do become friends that it's not going to be the same anymore. Yeah. You have to accept that. You have to accept that you're not going to be able to talk to me all the time. You have to accept that you're not going to necessarily be able to tell me you love me the way you really want to sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So it goes back to just the person, because I they tell me they're going to be my friend. Hey, I got you, Miles. I don't talk to them. they don't like me. They can't stand me. So.
Yeah. Well, that's really, really good. So we're talking about dating. And there's one particular person that I really want to talk about, Lori Harvey. How do y'all feel about her situation? Is she young and having fun, or what do y'all feel about it?
I feel like that is not, that's not dating. Because, like, let's be honest, because all of these men, and that might be a standard for her, are men of fame, men of notoriety. Like, if you really want to date, you date around. You don't really, because if you draw out that one well, all you gonna get is what you got. So maybe you need to pull out that pond and go to a different pond so you get a different result. Because you do the same thing over and over and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. So if you keep looking for these men that act the same way, they're all in the same realm, they're all famous, they're all, I don't think you can really call that, well, maybe it is dating, maybe, I don't know, I'm not in your business, boo, but like,
it's honestly, so interesting though. I'm sorry, Miles. It's so interesting though, because we never know why these relationships end. We never know, like, we don't know if she did something,
but we know if they all signed NDAs,
but and it's over. It's like they together one day and it's over the next. And then, not even 2 months later, the girl got another one. So it's like, is the men hurting you? Are you hurting the men? Because she's a beautiful woman. So I can't really say, like, she's going after them. Maybe all of these men are coming after her. Because I'm sure they're not the only ones. I'm sure she's turning down multiple men a day. Like, ignoring multiple men a day. Now, like you said, they are in the same, like, actor, rapper, daddy, son, all of this, like, but at the same time, it's like, well, all of these men are coming after her, so it's like, are they really looking to date her, or are they just looking for that one-time photo op that says, oh, Lori Harvey got a new man?
Right. So you have to have the enough, okay, what am I trying to say? You have to know yourself well enough to say, okay, that discernment, because that was you gotta have the discernment to say, is this person really for me? Are they really do they really have an ulterior motive? Because if they're, I mean, if it walks like a duck,
talks like a duck,
it quacks like a duck,
it might be a duck.
That's gonna be a duck.
It might be a duck. It might be a duck.
So let me not, because that duck was a duck, and that duck is a duck, and you just might be a duck. So before I go public and say, okay, you're not a duck, let me prove that you're not a duck for me. Instead of, well, let's just do it because it looks good on paper.
Look good on the shade.
But we also don't really know her motives, to be honest, because she doesn't disclose anything, nor does the person that she is involved in disclose anything. So we don't know what her intentions are. She might just be having fun. And I think that she's actually doing what a lot of females and a lot of people are doing. She's just doing it in the light, publicly. And nobody, I don't think, honestly, I see a lot of people faulting her for like the many men that she has like been with, but we don't know if she's having sex with these men. We don't know if they just friends or whatever the case may be. I'm not, maybe the Michael B. Jordan situation, that's different, because he actually came out and said, was like, I think he said, made a statement like basically he was hurt or something of that sort. But we can't compare every man that she has took a photo with to Michael B. Jordan, because it might have been different with Michael B. Jordan. So I mean, you just have to look at both sides. It's not always the man. Sometimes it could be us women.
Me personally, I just think it's interesting. I think that she's young and having fun, but also I'm thinking, like you said, what are your motives here? Are you just trying to make sure you're staying relevant? Are you trying to make the men that you're dating stay relevant? Because you are popping like that, you the it girl. I'm not knocking you for that either, because I do the same. You know, hell out. But I don't know. I'm just in conflict.
Would you say
that's the only, is that the only reason she's ever in the tabloids? Because she got a new man.
Yeah,
literally. Yeah. I mean, she Steve Harvey's daughter, but I mean, that don't mean nothing.
But like, we don't. That's just like like Regine Carter. We don't look at her as Lil Wayne's daughter all the time. Type. So we don't like she has we know image, right. Like, so it's like, are you only in the media because you have a new man?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't know any businesses.
I don't know.
But that's just me.
What'd you say, man?
I feel like that's an issue that we face is like people like our generation pay attention so much to it that they generalize relationships and think they're all supposed to be this specific way or this way, you know, instead of it's all based on situations and who you're dealing with necessarily.
Mm-hmm, right.
So a lot of the times when young women see a girl having fun, you know, it's not the best way to push women to go from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship, vice versa. It's not best to teach a man to go from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship. Because in my opinion, when you do that necessarily, you're just going through the motions. Like you're just, okay, relationship. All right, I'm gonna just be with them. Okay, let me have sex with them. Okay, let me kiss them. Okay, let me, mm-hmm. Right, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like, what else is more to it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's the real, like, love, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Because a lot of times we're just going through the motions, and that's what I feel like a lot of our regeneration does. We just go through the motions. We just, oh, be with somebody, all right, I got it. You know what I'm saying? And we generalize our relationships and we base them off this 1% of people that are rich, these hoopers, these rappers, these people that are famous, to where, let's be real, like a lot of the things that they're going through, we're not going to go through because we're not in their positions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The problem is, we like to base our relationships on those people's relationships and act like we're in their positions and mm-hmm. we're not. So, I mean, hey, do what she gotta do. I don't judge and I don't try and control a woman's life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm encouraging young girls to not follow or just have these. Because, I mean, let's be honest, like, certain influences are way better than others. I feel like men as well should look at more than we look at these rappers. Like, let's study some philosophers. Let's study some people that actually can help us mentally and how to treat a woman, or a woman, how to be a great wife to a man how to be a great husband. Like, let's look at some different influences, because the influences that we have now are horrible.
Right. Yeah.
And they're not where we need to be.
But, you know, that's the reason why I think today is so important, and mm-hmm. we're wrapping up here, so I don't want you guys to feel like we're gonna take too much more time, but I think it's so important. It's the reason why I asked the Lori Harvey question, is because it wraps back to the Love and Basketball movie.
Right.
What are we patterning ourselves after? Mm-hmm. What are we looking to achieve in this life? What are influence? What can we make an impact on younger people, older people? What can we do
right.
to say, hey, this is not okay? And I feel like us at our age are in between. The younger folks are like, I don't think they can do it. So they can be influenced. And I think the younger folks are like, oh, look at them. So we can influence them as well. Mm-hmm. So what are you setting yourself up for? What can you leave your mark and do? And I think what we're saying, like you say, in having mature mindsets, mm-hmm. I think that's the first step of it all, is to be mature enough to say, hey, maybe I am the problem. Hey, maybe I shouldn't be dating all these men. Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe I shouldn't have got mad at her because she left me on the bleachers when you clearly told me, go, you can mm-hmm. not miss your curfew. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So I say all of that to say, what's one thing you can tell a college student, I mean a student coming to college?
Be okay with who you are. First, learn who you are and be okay with who you are, because you can't have healthy relationships, friendships, romantic relationships if you're not okay with yourself, because you're going to always be in an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll always be some type of insecurity. It'll always be some type, oh, you coming at me. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't have mature conversations because you feel attacked. So learn yourself. Know what triggers you. Heal from it. Work towards it. Find the Lord. And truthfully, let That's him lead you to the people, because then we save so much time of jumping in and out of so many things that we wasn't even supposed to be in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so take time to, when you first get here, and I know, like, campuses, like, they have that welcome party.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Scope the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to be with dude because y'all met on the first day. Like, meet. Mingle. Talk.
But also, like, once you know yourself, stay true to yourself.
Yeah,
don't
absolutely.
Come to college and try to change yourself. I mean, we all become different people once we get here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take on the campus culture as who you are because it's what you see. Mm-hmm. If you know you don't like to party, don't party.
Don't.
If you know you don't like to sleep around, don't sleep around. Just because that's what everybody influencing you to do doesn't mean you have to do it. If you don't drink, baby, stay secure in your salvation and don't drink. Because I can tell you, it's one of the worst things you can do is to think, well, maybe it's okay because I see them doing it. Mm-hmm. You will find yourself somewhere that you never intended for yourself to be.
What the word say?
You'll wake up one day wishing I had just stayed. Like, mama was right. Daddy was right. Having those conversations with your parents, mama, I should have listened the first time because I let this culture influence me, or I let this person influence me, rather than staying to my own values, rather than staying true to scripture for the religious people, staying true to whatever. Like, know who you are and then stay be secure enough in yourself to where you can be yourself and not let just anybody influence you.
Absolutely, that's good.
I would probably say, like, don't be afraid to jump. Don't be afraid to take that extra step. Don't be afraid to step outside your box. Not discrediting anything that you just said, but for myself, and just speaking from my own experience, that's the only thing I can do. Coming to college, I was definitely in my own box. I wasn't, it might seem, you might not see it now, but I was not as sociable as I am now. So, like, being around new people and being around different people and different environments, there's going to be so many opportunities at hand when you come to college. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to take them. Don't be afraid to look at all of them and evaluate and feel like which one, you know, aligns with you the most. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, to keep it short and sweet, don't be afraid to take the extra step.
Healthy step. Next, healthy snap.
Advice I would give is, remember what you came here for. And
absolutely.
One thing I encourage, and I speak about with our young men, not to go further into detail, but I speak to them about, is what you want your legacy to be. Mm-hmm. What you want your son to see as you see in you as a father when he's old, when you're older. What do you want your son to say about you? Mm-hmm. Vice versa, as a woman, what do you want your daughter to say about you? Or, you know, your son to see how a mother is. So I would say, think about your future. Mm-hmm. When you're here, before you make a decision, think about how can it affect you. Mm-hmm. So I would say, be cautious and really have, like I said, be secured with yourself, because a lot of the times there's many influences that will try and get you to be someone you're not. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be real, a lot of influences. So I would say, think about your legacy. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to say. What do you want to set? What mark do you want to set? And you got to know, in college, you can have a big impact. It can go left or it can go right. Mm-hmm. So I would say, remember what you came here for.
That's good.
Also, go to class.
Go to class. Please, go to class.
You pay thousands of dollars to be here. Go to class.
With clothes on.
I say, this is my key mantra that I say. Mm-hmm. You have to change your mind to change your life. Yeah, if you go into college, if you go into anything with a closed mind, you'll be closed off to opportunities. You'll be closed off to friendships. You'll be closed off to a lot of different things in this experience. This experience can be what you make it. You can go from having, you know, trips and things like that, or you can be in your dorm all the time smoking and drinking and depressed. You have to step outside of your comfort zone. You have to be the person that you want to be. Like she said, you can't change for anybody else. But if you change your mind to change your life, you can go far in this experience. Absolutely. And it'll take you to places you never thought. I never thought I'd be doing some of the things that I'm doing on this campus. HBCUs are hidden gems, and I'm so appreciative to this HBCU specifically for putting me in the place that I am today.
I love that.
You guys, that's the episode. I appreciate you guys for coming and sitting at this table. If you guys want to see more of this content, please let me know. If you want to see these people back again for part two, let them know. Go and tag them. I'm gonna tag their social media, so spam them and say, hey, come back to It's a Perspective. I love y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed this deep conversation about college life and about dating and about having experiences that will last a lifetime. I love y'all. Peace out.